we're in the lobby of Great Falls Aquaculture, which, believe it or not, is one of the biggest animal farms in western Massachusetts, and we're with Jacob Nelson from CESA, the local hero. Folks, and what's your name?
Spencer Gowan.
Spencer, you're giving us the grand tour. This is an indoor farm.
Yep, we're an indoor farm. We're about a two-acre farm that we grow barramundi, which is a Southeast Asian sea bass, and it's all indoors, and it's all recirculating aquaculture. And I guess the value of recirculating aquaculture is that you reuse the water over and over again, so that the animals are living in tanks, and then we clean that water and reuse it so we don't have to use as much water as flow through aquaculture. We also have a good view of everything that's going on in the systems. There's no chances for escapement, and everything's kept at a perfect conditions for the animals.
So what are we looking at? You brought us not first to see the fish, you brought us to see your electrical panel.
Yes, exactly.
We have a lab. Look at all the fun science things.
This is our lab. We do all our water quality testing, so it's really important to keep the water quality really perfect for the fish. So we're testing that every day. We've got a lot of automated systems that are testing water quality and controlling systems water flow. So if I click through this panel, we can see all of the tanks that are out there. You can see the dissolved oxygen level, which dissolved oxygen is really important for life. And
even regular oxygen.
Yes, exactly. And we can see all the wastewater treatment operations. So we're actually a class 2 wastewater treatment plant, even though we're dealing with fish. And it's fish waste, not human waste. But we actually have to have operators here that are certified just like a municipal wastewater treatment plant.
Oh, neat.
That byproduct is not just waste. You're turning that into something else.
Yes. So we collect the waste, and we have a product that we call fish brew, which a little later we'll run into Walker, who does a lot with that.
That part made me super excited, especially because it's like seedling season and I have to start thinking about my garden now.
What is fish brew? It's not a beer.
It's not a beer. No, don't drink it.
I mean, I guess you could. You could probably make garum with it, sort of.
Yeah. Walker out there basically makes garum. So we'll make a fish hydrolysate fertilizer. So we'll take any of the dead fish or any of the processing waste, so any of the carcasses after we cut off the fillets, that all gets ground up into like a mashed potatoes and then digested with an enzyme into a liquid fish fertilizer. And it's a pretty foul process, but it makes a really great fertilizer for the plants. It's an excellent use of a resource that otherwise would be a waste. That's one product. And then we also have these manure products where we take the concentrated fish manure out of the systems, and we actually blend the waste from this farm together with waste from other farms that are part of the same ownership group. So Blue Stream Aquaculture, it's kind of our same family of aquaculture facilities. And there's a trout grow out about an hour north in New Hampshire, and a trout hatchery on Cape Cod. And all three of the farms have very unique microorganisms in the waste, in the concentrated fish manure. So we blend those together to make different products depending on what you're looking for. If you're looking for increased fungal count or increased bacterial count or protozoans for your soil. So it's all about the soil microbes. It's not about, people think of, oh, manure is nitrogen and fertilizer value, but the fish manure is actually all about the microbes bringing life back into the soil. It's really popular in the cannabis world because a lot of people are doing indoor grows, and then they have to start over with new soil so they can add in our microbes.
Fish in general is really popular in the cannabis world.
Yeah.
Well, fish with a
fish
with
a pH.
Yeah.
For Justin, Vermont, you don't have to do this. Are you dancing with a leg in
the room? One thing that Great Falls Aquaculture does really well, it's not wasting stuff, and it's finding a way to be efficient with the resources that you're using.
Efficient.
Oh, my God. And it's going to be like this the whole time.
So many fish jokes.
The whole time.
I think there's two ways to go when you're a farmer, and that's to be really laissez-faire, and sort of, this works if you're farming outdoors, right? It's just like, let nature do what it's going to do and have a very light hand. We're indoors, so you're controlling the whole ecosystem. We have a pretty heavy hand on these conditions. And so that dictates a lot of what we're about to see and why we're starting our tour in a lab. You have a lot of animals under your care. How many fish are we about to go see in these tanks?
So right now, we're about 180,000 fish.
Whoa.
So there's quite
a... These aren't small fish, right?
It ranges. There's small ones. They go up to about a pound and a half. That's our harvest size. And our primary market actually is live markets across North America. So they're these specialty live Asian markets that value having a live fish in the tank at the point of sale.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a very niche business. And then we process the trout from those other farms here. Those and some of the barramundi we fillet for the local market. So you can get our fish at Greenfield's Market, Cusker's, there's Atkins, River Valley, and then up at the Monadnock Co-op. So we have a small part of our production we push into the local market because that's important to us.
Where are these live markets that these fish are ending up?
Boston, Toronto, Vancouver, New York City are all our biggest markets.
Mm. I've seen them at H-Mart's.
Yeah.
H-Mart's a very famous Asian market.
But it's part of what makes going there, like, not that you shouldn't be going to local fish markets, because you should, but, like, it's part of what going there means. Like, you're getting something super fresh. It was just killed. Like, you've just, you know the quality of the fish that you're getting because you can see it moving around before you end its life and take it home to eat.
Tell us what barramundi tastes like for people who might not be familiar with this type of fish.
So it's a pretty mild flavored white fleshed fish. If you're not big into the fishy flavors, it's not a very challenging fish, which is great. Since it doesn't have a lot of strong flavors of its own, it can take on a lot of different sauce flavors, and it's really flexible in that way. It has a very high oil content for a white fish. It holds up to cooking pretty well and doesn't get dried out that easily. So.
It's a little creamy, and the texture is kind of in between flaky and thick, like you would get in something, or like a mahi-mahi. Like, the texture is really, like, medium. It is really good for people who, like texture-wise, aren't necessarily into fish, too, but, like, the oil gives it this nice creamy consistency on the tongue. It's really nice.
How do you cook it, Khalees?
I haven't in a minute. But this is one of the ones where, like, I don't like to do a lot to it because the flesh is so, it's delicate, but it's got this nice freshness to it. So if you don't do a lot to it, it's actually really, really nice. Mm. Little salt and pepper and flour, like, quick dredge. Call it done.
How do you make it, Spencer? Is that what you do? Or are you just so sick of eating this fish, you never have it again?
No, I do eat it. So just salt and pepper, really, and I usually pan fry it if I'm doing fillets. The other way I really like it is the whole fish. So a lot of our customers are going to make a whole fish preparation, and that's usually sauces like ginger sauces, ginger garlic sauces, steamed with soy and ginger. Yeah, it's really good.
Black bean sauce.
Shall we go meet the fish?
Yes, let's go check it out.
We're following Spencer Gowan into Great Falls Aquaculture's farming, where they have thousands of fish, and we're stepping in a little tiny pool that disinfects our shoes, right?
Yeah, that's one of the good things about being indoors, is if we follow these biosecurity processes, we can keep any disease out. We also have full control over anything that's going to go into the fish or into the tank, so we don't get any contamination you might see in a wild fish. There's a sustainability factor in that we know everything that's going into them. So the fish meal that's used in our feed, that's actually wild fish scraps from processing of food fish already. So we're taking the leftovers from, say, that mahi that you bought at the store. Well, the leftovers from that could be getting turned into feed for our fish. As we walk around, you'll see there's a lot of water here. There's about 3 million gallons in this building of water, and we're circulating that constantly. So there's a lot of energy use, but we can measure that, you know, and there is a societal impact of that energy use. You know, energy is one of our biggest weak points on this process from a sustainability standpoint. So we do have plans to put in an anaerobic digester out back, where we'll take food waste, produce methane from that to produce power as well as heat for the facilities.
It is warm in here,
exactly.
These things are from the southern hemisphere. Right?
Yeah. So these are a tropical fish. We're growing indoors. The advantage to that is no chance of escapement. They're not going to live around here.
What temperature do you have to keep it at?
So these are running about 80 degrees.
Oh. Yeah.
Go in there and take a swim with them. I'm sure you'd appreciate that.
No.
At Great Falls Aquaculture with Spencer Guerin, getting the grand tour of this gigantic indoor tropical fish farm, one of the biggest animal farms in Western Mass. Oh yeah, gonna catch your death of cold going in and out of these two rooms.
So these guys are processing trout from our sister farm in New Hampshire, Blue Stream Aquaculture.
Tell us about the relationship with your farm here and the other farms that you mentioned.
Yeah, is it like a standard co-op or like?
There's a shared owner. In 2018, this facility was bought from Australia. This facility has been here for 30 years farming fish. So it's one of the longest standing farms of this type in the country.
Spencer, this is so different than most of the farms that we have in this part of the world.
Yeah.
It's so cool that this is here in Great Falls, but why Great Falls?
It's a good proximity to some great shipping lanes. You know, our Vancouver trip, we're putting it on a truck that's coming back from Vancouver with seafood for Boston. And then they drop off in Boston, and then every week they're doing this, and they come up to us, and we're right on the way.
It's like a well-fish-oiled machine.
So yeah, this is our fish brew area. This is Walker Wrightmore. He's our nursery manager and also the fish brew czar.
How you doing, Walker?
Great, how are you?
Good, what are you making?
We have started utilizing the waste stream of the fish farm. We've created a line of plant fertilizers and soil conditioners. So we started a company called Fish Brew. We sell this kind of all over the US now. It's OMRI certified, so it's certified for organic farming. This is an example of what liquid fish looks like. We don't take anything out of it. It's the whole fish, all the oils, which is good for the soil and microbes in the living soil. So
it looks like chocolate milk when you shake it up.
Yeah, when you shake it up.
It looks like beer when you don't.
Yeah, the brew. That's the stout right there. So then we utilize the fish manure. We actually brew it and turn it into a soil conditioner. So we're promoting the growth of really beneficial bacteria. Doesn't really smell at all. We basically take the smell out of it. Good 1-2 punch for growing whatever you want.
Where can you get it locally?
The Greenfield Co-op.
The Farmers Co-op,
we sell it locally.
Amherst Farmers Co-op
too, yeah.
And then we have an online store.
Yeah. Thanks, Walker.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
Walker started the fish brew in his backyard. He didn't really get into that. He was bringing home any of the dead fish and fermenting them into this fish brew. Here are our smallest fish. They're probably around 5 or 6 grams at this point. If you want to feed them, you can.
They're anchovy size. If
you're like a Swedish fish.
Yeah, you want to feed them?
Swedish fish. Lee's gonna feed the fish. Very Mr. Rogers-y.
But we'll make believe about that another day. Here you are, fish.
One of the main ingredients we switch off of the fish meal is we do poultry meal, which is poultry byproduct from processing poultry. And in the East Coast, there's a lot of poultry production. It's one of the things that maybe would be considered controversial about our fish specifically, but one of the things I would say is this is a protein that's very digestible for fish, and it's a product that's out there that's readily available. I think it's much better than taking Peruvian anchovies and turning them into fish.
I'm just like being hypnotized by watching the baby fish swirl.
Yeah.
It's so neat, them like coming together as a vortex and then like dispersing, and then they'll swirl back together in a little ball.
This is a loud factory.
Yeah, I was curious how that was going to go.
We'll see.
I think it's just fascinating to me that a farm like this and a farm of this size exists in Turner's Falls. And I've lived here, not my whole life, but a couple of years, and never knew that this was out here by the airport.
Yeah.
And I just think that's a fun story to share with folks. And then also the sustainability and the efficiency that Monty was talking about.
We are hidden in here. People don't know we exist. You know, once we started doing the farmer's market, it was mind-blowing how many people walked up and said, oh, yeah, I went to the tech school, and I drove by every day, and I didn't know there was a fish farm there.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess that's a good thing. You know, we haven't caused any problems, but at the same time, I wish people did know about it. And that's what we've been trying to do, is do a little more local stuff just to inject ourselves into the community and not be just that place over there.
I'm so angry at the song happening to all of
it's
us
fish
right now.
Bouncing around the room. Thanks again to Spencer Gowan at Great Falls Aquaculture, which is in Turner's Falls, but I wish it was in Gill.
I'm angry at that joke, too.